Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Welcome to the Greatest Story Never Told podcast, episode number 81.
Yeah.
All right. We have a couple unofficial sponsors. Steve of the Greatest Story Never Told
that
podcast.
That is fantastic news.
People that want to donate a little money to our, local fisher houses. Ola Dirtbags, this one says. I love the Greatest Story Never Told podcast. Would like to be an official sponsor. I donated to the JBLM Fisher House so that I could support a great cause and also help possibly save a life or two. I've never really been super charitable or an advocate for anything until 3 years ago when I was shot in the leg at the Route 91 Festival in Las Vegas. The images on the news were nothing compared to what it looked like in real life. When I was rushed to the hospital by ambulance, they had to wipe another victim's blood off the seat
Jesus.
So I could sit on it. There was blood splattered all over the walls and EMTs. The ER, more of the same. Since then, I've been passionate about donating blood 4 times a year and encouraging other people to donate at least once. Most donation appointments average less than 30 minutes from the time you check in until you leave with juice and cookies in your belly. And you can even get an email notifying you when and where your blood was used, which is a pretty cool feeling. In a time when a lot of folks are financially strapped, this is something you can do to help that is free and takes minimal time to literally save a life. So please get out and donate, bitches. You never know when you find yourself or a loved one in a situation where they may need it. Cheers, guys. That from Dino, who says, P.S., despite having pretty wicked PTSD, I still love going to festivals. I'll be hitting the best lineup I've ever seen at Louder Than Life in Louisville. In September, your homeboy Aaron Jones will be there, and you should too. Based on the number of guaranteed future repeats that get aired again, you guys must get a S-load of vacation days. I'd love to meet you guys there for a few $13 beers and some kick-ass bands if you're not too hot to handle that much rock. Man, that's a pretty good haul there as far as going to Tennessee or Kentucky, wherever the hell. Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah.
Louisville.
I think we're going down to Sacramento maybe and watch maybe 1 day of a festival. I don't know if we're going to do any more than that.
Which one was? Oh, that's like the Metallica.
Metallica in Sacramento. We might go down there and hang out if we can squeeze our way in there. Dino, thank you so much for your donation to the three local Fisher houses. That is greatly appreciated. He gave $40. So thank you for doing that. Very cool.
Sorry you had to be shot to be charitable.
Yeah, and getting the word out. And then we have a listener submitted greatest story never told.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Okay. He says, hola, Bacholas, I've got a fun story for you guys. You guys have read a few of my emails on the air, so here's a true story for you. My brother was a master mechanic in the Air Force working on the A-10 Warthogs, which, if you don't know, are the bombers typically used as quick reaction force that were built around a Volkswagen Beetle-sized minigun. They shoot 30-millimeter bullets that put grapefruit-sized holes into enemy tanks. Now, this is cool for two reasons. One, my grandfather was a colonel in the Air Force and flew in the Flying Tigers in World War II. Missions to China. We still have a yen bill with a quickly sketched map from a Chinese general showing him where to fly over a bridge and attack the enemy. My brother was stationed to work for the modern-day Flying Tigers, which transferred over to the A-10 Warthogs at some point. So my brother is an Air Force Flying Tiger legacy. Two, my brother is a hero, not only for his years of service, multiple tours, but he's also a mechanic, and so he flirts more on the abrasive side when dealing with people and gives anyone who inconveniences him the business. So when he got out of the Air Force, he transferred over to the reserves, started getting annoyed with a handful of people he had to work with, claiming them as incompetent. He proved this by openly nicknaming a guy who continuously had to redo his work on aircraft after inspections, Mulligan. The guy was ignorant of the word's meaning and thought it meant something positive like MacGyver or something, so he didn't take offense to it for almost a year, if not longer. My brother and others on the base called him this in front of others, and they knew what it meant, the do-over, so to speak, as a mulligan, until finally someone got offended for Mulligan and let this guy know what it actually meant. My brother's fun was over. So when my brother's time was then up for the reserves, he threw himself a, quote, going-away party at the base. Now, most going-away parties are to congratulate and wish that person leaving the best of luck in the future and is typically thrown by the company or coworkers. Not this one. This one was thrown by my brother, who is leaving with a grandeur middle finger aimed backwards at an explosion as he speeds away into the sunset on his motorcycle. So my brother starts making preparations. He orders a cake, because every celebration needs a cake, right?
Sure.
Well, this one is in the shape of a bag full of penises that he leaves in the break room for people to enjoy. The cake was also completed with a message, eat a bag of Dick's on top and look like the bag from Dick's Drive-In. He went back at some point to check, and people are definitely enjoying his phallic dessert. Also, what's a party without music? So he puts together a playlist of songs to play throughout the day over the hangar's PA system. All songs having to do with quitting. Screw You, generic F You to play through the day, like Poison by Alice Cooper, Gone by Kanye, and The Next Episode by Dre. He's not done. Since this is an Air Force base, the landing strip is checked daily for any rocks, nails, bolts, whatever could damage an aircraft as they took off or landed. The base had a policy that if you found a golden bolt while doing the field check, you would receive a future fully paid day off. Not a single golden bolt was ever found at the time my brother was stationed there. And it turns out it was just a ploy to motivate those on base to look even harder with no reward. Opportunity reveals itself. My brother bought no less than 6 bolts, spray painted them gold, and strategically placed them around the landing strip so personnel would find them, but not in any way jeopardize any aircraft taking off or landing. In the later months after he left, he did hear back from friends that these bolts were found, and ranking officers had to give those people paid days off because of their, quote, policy. It goes further up the ranks, and the golden bolt rule is now implemented in many airfields in the area with actual bolts that cannot be replicated. Not the hero they needed, but the hero they deserved. He's still not done. He then buys stink bombs online that come in glass vials and smell as the most putrid, disgusting thing that would probably give Thrill a run for his money after a day of milkshakes and eggnog.
I appreciate that.
He places a vial beneath all entrances to the office building and hangars that have a rubber mat, so if someone steps there, the vial breaks and releases the smell, which lingers all day long. He also buys glitter packs, opens them partially, and tapes them to the back of all the air-circulating fans he can. Now, this wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't in the middle of the summertime and the building's AC unit just broke down. So these fans would be one of the first things turned on and kept on throughout the day. In the same light or smell, he also tapes out-of-order signs to all toilet partitions in the facility other than the single toilet bathroom next to the commander office's personal office.
Oh, well played.
How many of you question an out-of-order sign on a toilet partition? No one. So the entire base was dropping bombs next to the commanding officer's office.
I love your brother so far.
This happened for most of the day until a line started forming. Janitorial services were called. They started checking these perfectly functioning toilets and ripped down my brother's out-of-order signs. He left the base on his own 2 feet that day after observing all the chaos he created and having the entire base searching for who did one prank, only to run into another and another. Later on, he tells me no one on base knew who did these relentless pranks, but they had a sneaking suspicion that it was him. There's no proof that he did them, and there's no lawful action to be had since it was so long ago. Just a very funny story that I enjoy. I asked for his permission to tell this story to all of you, and he was entirely on board and excited to hopefully immortalize his story. He even sent a couple of photos. We have the photos that he sent in of the toilets with the out-of-order signs on them.
This guy's fantastic,
man. And everything else, yes. His antics are now confined to his HOA that keeps him busy. An example of that is when he was threatened that if he didn't repaint his mailbox within 30 days, he would be fined some absurd amount of money. So he spent every day of that time spray painting just a tiny bit of the mailbox so it looked like blotchy, ugly, polka-dotted mailbox until the 30th day when he finally finished painting it. He was in compliance, so no fine. Never stop having fun, Rockaholics, and keep on rocking. That from B-Dub.
I feel like there's a cottage industry with this guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, look, I'm going to leave my job or someone upset me. So, like, you know, some people hire a hitman. This is not that. This is, man, I'm just irritated at this person or this company. You don't break the law, and you hire this guy, kind of like a wedding planner, like your prank planner. Like, tell you what I'm going to do. I surveyed your office. So out-of-order signs, because I noticed next to your boss's office, you know, is that bathroom.
Right.
You go right on. I heard they're doing this fake scam, finding the golden screws. I'm going to spray paint a few, but they still have to own up to it. Like, I love that guy. I love him because he's malicious. It's petty, but it's funny. And to me, that like the greatest combo you can
Oh, there
can
it
have.
Is. See, now he's an off-faction of Pet Solutions. Now he's Petty Solutions.
Yeah, Petty Solutions.
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, man, when we were at CBS Radio in Baltimore, I would have hired this guy in a heartbeat. Like, we got in trouble all the time. We never did anything, like, bad, but we always annoyed them. But generally, when we got back at them, it was crap like that. You know, very childish, but effective. See, and that's why children do it. I would hire this guy. I can think of like three people I'd prank just for the hell of it.
One of the better pranks, not really a prank, but there was this guy I worked with in Hagerstown, Maryland. And the program director said, look, this guy did nights, I did middays. He said, you can't just keep playing what you want. There is a reason that we have a music log and that we have certain songs in rotation. You know, we'll tell the record rep from Aerosmith, look, we're going to give this song 20 spins in a week. And those are, believe it or not, those are counted. Those go toward the record sales, the airplay, and everything else. Well, he was switching a lot of those songs out and just playing whatever he wanted. So he did have a request period, like at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, where he took requests or whatever the hell it was. But he never took anyone's request, even though people called in. He took the three slots available and played what he wanted. So there was one band in particular. Now, you will never remember this band, but the band was so obscure that back in the day, when we were playing all this music, we were playing it off of CDs. Now, whether that would be a CD single or the band CD or whatever it was, you know, most of that stuff was available on CD. There was a cart rack in the back that held a number of songs that we did not have in our CD library. For an example, the version of Inagata De Vida, which was 17 minutes long, a cart had enough tape in it to actually be able to handle that, like an 8-track, and that entire song was on there. Some acoustic versions of songs that were played at the radio station had been put on cart. And then just obscure things that were hits at the time that we didn't have. For an example, like Rainbow had a song called Stone Cold. Mm-hmm, Basically, if you think one-hit wonders, there were a lot of one-hit wonders on these carts because why in the hell would you buy the entire CD?
And carts are erasable.
Right, when it's just when it's just one song. So this guy loved this band called Saga. All right.
Oh, my God.
The band was called Saga.
Now, I remember Saga. I remember them well enough to have forgotten them.
Yeah. Saga basically had one semi-hit called On the Loose.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah. I believe it was called On the Loose.
I mean, it wasn't the worst song. So, it's just they didn't do anything else.
The problem was this guy, Michael, would play the song every night in the request hour. And my boss, David Miller, says, hey, man, he said, you can't do that. He said, you can't play this. Like, no one knows the song. I know you love the band. I know you think it's the coolest song ever in rock and roll. We don't play that song. It's like a spice thing. Every once in a while, it's fine. Stop playing that damn song. So he got pissed because every night he would call up and be like, man, he freaking played that goddamn song again. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'm listening. I know in the whatever, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock hour, I'm going to hear Saga on the Loose, right? And I'm like, oh, Christ. So the cart's in there, and the guy who was the boss was my friend. He's like, because I was the music director at the time, so it wasn't like I was telling on the guy because he was actually listening at night. He was the one busting him. When I was done.
Sure.
Music logs are done. Music's in for the next day. I don't give a I'm done my job, right? Whatever this guy wants to do, that's on his ass, not mine. So I had an idea. I said, what if we change? I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I will go in because the way the cart label was, you knew it's old, it's taped over, it's. I said, I will make a new cart and we'll keep it in your desk for Saga on the Loose, right? I will put that in your desk so we have a new one when we need it. But I'm going to take the one that's in the rack and I'm going to replace it with a song. So back in the day, they would send out these hit discs. So a hit disc was basically every popular song from that week, regardless of genre, all right? And like Gold Century would send this out, all right? Once every 2 weeks, once every month, whatever it was. These are the biggest songs. So whether it was country, rock and roll.
Right, they're all there.
They're all there.
They're like 12 songs.
Yeah, we got that library. So if, George Strait had a hit, those songs were on that.
You know, even though you're on a rock star.
Even though you're on a rock star.
So you got to play the right track.
Yeah, Whitney Houston is on that, okay? So we go back and back and back and back and go back in this library that they've had forever. And you guys remember the song Feelings?
Feelings. God,
that was the worst song in my mind that I could find on this gold disc.
No, you knocked that out of the park.
So I took Saga in the original cartridge and I erased it, all right? And then I went in and I recorded Feelings. On top of this cart, put it back in the rack for that night. Now, he'd just been reprimanded the night before for playing Saga on the Loose. He says, no, I won't play it. So it's Friday night, all right? It's Friday night. This guy gets off the air at 12 o'clock. All right. Now, keep in mind, the request hour is like 9 or 10 o'clock or whatever it is. Okay. But he's still, listen, he could play this song in the studio and jam it, and it would never go over the air.
It doesn't have to go over the air.
Right.
Exactly.
If you want to keep playing and playing and playing and playing and playing and playing it, you can play it.
I used to jam Metallica over the, I used to work at the late listening station. So it'd play Ace of Base, and it started affecting me. But in the studio, I'm listening to Injustice for All.
Right.
Right. You can do that.
Yeah.
If you really want to hear a song, it's like people that call us and always request certain things. Like, if you like the band this much, there's a good chance you want an album. And if we're not playing it right now, like, bro, just put the goddamn song on.
So this night, this Friday night, it was the Hagerstown Haunted House, all right? And this was getting close to Halloween, and this thing ran for like 2 weeks before Halloween. They packed this place. They had a corn maze. I mean, it was known in the area. If you lived in Waynesburg, Chambersburg, whatever, Chambersburg, Waynesburg, everybody came in. People came in from Frederick to do this haunted house. It was so legendary back in the day. They actually had like raw liver that they would put on you and stuff like that. It was,
who doesn't want to go to that?
People were popping out with real axes. I mean, this is kind of like Action Park, but in a right. haunted. And we sponsored the thing, all right? But we were only supposed to be there on Friday and Saturday nights or whatever. Those were like the QCM nights, right? So anyway, so I did not tell my boss what I had put in instead of Saga on the Loose, right? So we get done and we wrap up. And keep in mind, the van is on site.
Right.
They are playing our music when you come in,
of course.
Right? Okay. And we're there from like, it was like 10 to midnight, and all QCM listeners who came in on Friday night, they would get a deal and all this stuff.
A free liver
smack. Chance to win tickets and all this stuff. So it's me and my boss, David Miller, and we're out there, and it's just about ready to wrap things up. We've got the speakers out, and all of a sudden, it segues from like Sweet Emotion into feeling. Nothing more than feelings. Now, we're at a haunted house. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is midnight on a Friday night. And he looks at me and he goes, motherfucker, did you replace Saga on the Loose with Feelings? And I'm like, you know I did. He's like, how soon do he rips this off the air? And we just stood there and stood there. And I don't think he knew what to do.
Right.
So, because the rule is that even if you make a mistake.
You got to let, don't call attention
to the mistake.
You got to
let the song play through, right? So we're all just like, so I am bent over dying at this point. Needless to say, he never put that Saga cartridge back into the studio until he replaced that.
Right, right.
But that was a good one. That was, because I didn't tell him what song I put in, but it was just, I mean, because he thought he could get away with it and sneak it in. Not really thinking, you know what I mean?
Because right,
it's 11, and I think he just thought we just kind of wrapped up or whatever. He wasn't even thinking it at the time. It's midnight on a Friday night, and Feelings is just blasting all over the haunted house. So I cranked that bad boy up. I'm like, yeah. Next thing I know, I look over at Dave, and he's on the phone. He's calling the hotline. No one's picking up.
No
one's picking up in the studio.
Yeah.
So by the time Monday came around, he kind of cooled off, and he's like, all right, man, we just got to pull everything out of here.
Right.
That was about that.
That's well done, man.
Yeah, good stuff.
That is well
All right,
done.
We good?
We good.
All right, there's your greatest story I never told podcast. Thank you guys for listening to this thing.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.